Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Yeah, it's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. I'm glad you could drop by this week and listen to the podcast. I hope you're having a tremendous time. I plan to have a really good time today as we get into the podcast. For those of you that are keeping score, and yes, I know there are those among you that do keep score, this is Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, and we are at podcast number 21. Today is January the 28th as I record this. I have no idea what time or date it is when you're listening, because, you know, being a podcast, you can't be listening live, but you could be listening almost live, meaning shortly after I record it on a Saturday. But if you aren't, then you aren't, and you can't because you won't, or I don't know. Anyway, we're going to talk about a couple of things. Don't have really a whole lot this week to share with you, so I've got something very odd to share with you later. So stay tuned if you want oddness. If your life is just looking for oddness, then I have it for you. All right, first of all, let's talk about our Geek Software of the Week for last week. Released it on January 23rd. Geek Software of the Week, as you know, is when I come up with software that people are interested in and they want it for free. They don't want to have to pay the man, you know. Kind of like that commercial where the guy says, "I'm sticking it to the man," and his assistant says, "But you are the man." And he says, "I know." And he says, "So you're sticking it to yourself?" He says, "Maybe." Well, maybe you are the man. If you are the man, then I'm sorry. But this is starting out weird, isn't it? Well, that's okay. It's going to get weirder. You know, hang in there. It's going to get really strange before it's over with. All right. Geek Software of the Week, as you know, like I said, I try to find something free but useful. There's a lot of folks that are looking for a way to protect their kids online, and that's great. I think that's an admirable thing. As you know, the web is a wild and woolly place. Lots of crazy things happening out there. People can put any website that they want, post anything, say anything, do anything that they want online, and some things that they're doing and saying you may not want your kids to see. Hey, I can understand that. So, you want software that's going to stop them should they click on a link that they shouldn't. I'm not saying they would do it intentionally, necessarily, you know. John C. Dvorak talked about one time how he was looking for some dresses and accessories for his daughter's Barbie doll collection. So he very innocently went to Google, typed in Barbie, clicked on OK, and needless to say, he got lots of porn sites. And, you know, he immediately thought, wait a minute, you know, what if I was one of my kids? What if I was my daughter? I sit down at the computer, I type in Google, type in Barbie, and man, I'm confronted with all these porn sites. And it got him to thinking about the fact that there needed to be some way to shield kids from that kind of junk. I mean, you know, they're very innocently going out and typing something, and you know, then they come up with all this stuff. Well, there's lots of software out there that will help you block things that you don't want your kids to see. And unfortunately, most of them cost a lot of money. And they involve the use of blacklists, which can be problematic because people are putting up websites and, you know, posting all kinds of things all the time. So it would be almost impossible to keep track of all the sites that you want to block them from seeing. So a programmer has come up with a way around that. What he did is he wrote some software. First of all, he did it because he wanted to protect his own family and friends' families. And so because of that, he decided to release it for free. So you got to give him that. But he came up with a software that basically, in effect, looked at the site that you were about to go to and made certain determinations based on content of the site as to whether to block it or not. So it doesn't rely on blacklists, which is an interesting idea and actually a very interesting technology. I'm not sure exactly how he managed to do it. But I have done some testing I'm all about research, and so I did some testing, and it seems to work rather well. I'm pretty impressed with it. The software is called Naomi, and so there's a blog entry about it. You can read my post and see all about what it says. But basically, it's an internet filter, and it constantly monitors your internet connection and protects your kids from seeing inappropriate online material. So it's pretty cool. Now, what kind of material are we talking about? Well, obscene or violent contents, pornography, pedophilia, eroticism in the form of images or text, sites that popularize drugs, gambling, terrorism, hate propaganda, occultism, sex, as in S-E-C-T-S, sects, blasphemy, etc. And it doesn't rely, as I mentioned, on a list of banned sites. It uses real-time examination of the data being transmitted and received, and through all kinds of methods, not just web browsers, chat programs, news readers, all kinds of things. And it has a heuristic analysis capability of recognizing new material automatically, semantic analysis of web page contents, and analysis of addresses and links. It recognizes all the major languages. It recognizes the ICRA labeling system, which is kind of like a rating system for websites. Monitoring is not limited to websites. Covers all of your internet traffic. It also blocks file sharing applications. So if you wanted to prohibit your kids from downloading things through BitTorrent, you can do that, all the P2P applications. It is password protected. Now, I will say this. If you go to use this application, be very, very aware of the password you type in when you install it. You must have that password to uninstall it. You must have that password to make any changes in its configuration. And there's no second chances on this password. Whatever password you pick, that's it. It doesn't even ask you to confirm it. So if you mistype it, you'd better make a note of what you mistyped. What it'll do is that you type it in, you click OK, and it'll come up and say, your password is this, and it'll show it to you. That's a real good opportunity to stop right there and cut that password, or not cut it, but you know what I mean, highlight it, copy it, and then put it in a text file if you're not going to remember, if it's some long string or something. Look at it closely, because if you don't copy that down or you don't remember it correctly, if you don't use that password, you're not getting back into the software and you're not going to be able to uninstall it. Period. End of discussion. And the guy won't give you any tools to get the password changed. Okay? That is it. Matter of fact, if you want to change the password, I'm not even sure you can change the password. Hold on. I'm typing in the password now. Very long password. All right, let's see. Can I change? Yes, I can change the password. That is one of the options. So, good. But you got to know the old one before you can change the new one, okay? Now, you can leave the icon on, visible in the taskbar. It's a cute little red flower. It looks very pretty. You can stop P2P, change the password. You can visit the guy's website. You can uninstall it. You can stop it manually for the current session. Or you can click the hide button, which will hide the window, but not exit the program, and which is what I just did by clicking it. And there you go. So the other thing that's very cool about this, as much as it does not take up a whole lot of CPU. I'm very impressed by it. It doesn't drag your machine down. So pretty impressive. Very nice for free. And, of course, our Geek Software of the Week. So there you go. Parents, take heed. It's very, very nice. Now, it's called Naomi. I've got a link to it in the blog. It's at www.radiance.m6. That's M and the number 6, .net. You can go there and get it, or you can just click on the link in the blog entry, and there you are. All right, next item. Do Windows apps run faster on Wine? Now, Wine is one of those cute recursive acronyms that Linux and Unix folks just love to do. You know, new, which is pronounced G, or spelled G-N-U, new, New stands for news, not Unix. Okay, N-U. I don't know why I keep wanting to say N. G-N-U. I guess because the G is silent. I'm making it silent even in my mind. There you go. G-N-U, new, is not Unix. It's a recursive acronym. Well, in the same way, Wine is not an emulator. W-I-N-E, Wine. Wine is not an emulator. Well, actually, it sort of kind of is an emulator. At least it works like an emulator in the sense that the idea of Wine is it is an application you can install on Linux, and when you install it, you can then install Windows programs on Linux, and they will run on Linux. Now, not all of them, unfortunately, but a great many of them will run under Wine. And Wine kind of, like I said, acts like an emulator. Now, the reason they say Wine is not an emulator is because it's not sitting there emulating a PC. What it's doing is it's looking at the application program interface calls, the API calls, and it's correctly interpreting them and then making Linux do what Windows would do that software is requesting, if that makes any sense. Anyway, basically it allows you to run certain Windows programs on Linux. Now, you might say, well, yeah, it sounds kind of cool, but man, that's got to be slow. I mean, doing all that interpretation on the fly. Yeah, but you know what? They've done some tests and found out that Windows programs that run under Wine seem to run faster on Wine than they do natively in Windows. Man, check that out. So, as I said, they did these tests. They found it to be true. Now, like I said, there's certain programs won't run. There's, you know, graphical issues and constraints. And that's all explained in the article. But it is pretty cool that in a lot of cases, most cases, Windows programs that do run under Wine run faster there than doing under Windows natively. Pretty cool. All right, next item. Yahoo gives up the search engine chase. A lot of people, you know, they've been looking at Yahoo. They've been looking at Google. They've been looking at Yahoo. Which one is the one that delivers better search? Well, it's been a battle that's been going on for many, many years. And finally, Yahoo has just said, all right, forget it. Look, we're going to go a whole different direction. Excuse me. We're not going to fight anymore trying to be the best search engine. We're going to provide search, but we're not going to try to be the best, the greatest, the fastest, the most wonderful, the one indexing more sites than anybody else. And they just gave it up to Google. Google, you won. Well, that's cool. I've been using Google all along anyway. And I'm really not a big user of Yahoo. But Yahoo basically says, look, we got all these other things we're doing. We're not going to keep fighting the search engine battle. Pretty amazing. So they decided, we're not going to play anymore. We're going to take our ball and bat and go home. All right, last item. I know it's been short, but last item. Red Hat to release a Linux for the MacBook Pro. That's pretty cool. You know, Apple came out with the MacBook Pro, which is its first Intel-based laptop computer. And what I don't quite understand is that Mac OS X is a version of BSD, you know, which is a Unix. So why would it be so exciting to release a Linux for a machine that is already ostensibly running a Unix, Linux, BSD type operating system? I don't know. But it is cool. Okay, it's just cool that they can do that, and that's cool. So Red Hat decided to release a Linux, or they started developing a Linux for the MacBook Pro. So there you go. Pretty cool. I don't know why it's pretty cool, but it's pretty cool. Okay. All right, like I said, kind of a little short on time this week in terms of items. I didn't do as much blogging as I normally do because things have been really busy. So I decided we'd do something a little different, and that is look at the weird and strange world around us and kind of laugh at everyday things. These are things, this is a page that I found that is a list of warning labels. Warning labels on actual, real products that because of various crazy things that people do, they decided to put a warning label on the product. Let me give you an example. Here's a warning label that's on a bottle of shampoo. Now, understand this. It's on a bottle of shampoo for dogs. Dog shampoo. Okay, you with me? Here's the warning. Caution. The contents of this bottle should not be fed to fish. Right. Shampoo for dogs should not be fed to fish. Which makes you kind of ask the question, why did they put that on the bottle? Maybe because some customer fed it to their fish, the fish died, and then they wrote the company and said, you should put a warning label on the bottle. Right. Okay. How about this one? On a curling iron. Now, you know what a curling iron is, right? Metal, has a handle, plug it into the wall, you put it in here, twist it up, and it curls the hair because of the electricity heating up the little rod that's on. Okay, you got a picture of it? Okay, here's the warning label. For external use only. I'm not going to think about that too long, okay? Right. How about this one? Another warning label on a curling iron. Warning, this product can burn eyes. Well, yeah, if you poke it in your eye, it will burn your eye. Duh. Okay. How about this one? On a hair dryer. Okay? Hair dryer? Nice little small hair dryer. Plug it into the wall. Okay, here's the warning label. You ready? Do not use in shower. That would be considered a bad move. Okay? Yeesh. Okay, how about this one? You know how sometimes they can come up with cute little things, gifts to give geeks and things of that nature? Somebody decided to come up with a chocolate CD in a gift basket. You know, it looks just like a CD, but it's made of chocolate. So, okay, you're ahead of me. I can tell. Here's the warning label. You ready? That's on the chocolate CD. Do not place this product in any electronic equipment. And maybe they should put another little label that says, but you may eat it. Okay. Okay, how about this one? This one's on a toilet. No, you're not going to believe this. This is on a toilet in a public sports facility in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Recycled flush water unsafe for drinking. Mm-hmm. I kind of go along with that one, yeah. Okay. On an electronic rotary tool, you know, like the little, what do you call those tools? Dremel tool, you know, those little Dremel tools. This is his own, a warning on the Dremel tool. This product not intended for use as a dental drill. It just conjures up all kinds of interesting pictures, doesn't it? You know, it does look a little bit like a dental drill, but come on, folks. Okay, here's another one. On a container of underarm deodorant. You have underarm deodorant spray you spray under your arm. Caution, do not spray in eyes. If you have smelly eyes, go a whole other direction. Don't use this. Man. Okay, here's one. You ever gone out into a parking lot and seen those cardboard things that people put in their windshields? You know, they cover the whole windshield, and the idea, of course, is to keep the sun off the dashboard, keep the car cooler. You know, pretty good idea. Okay, here's the warning label. Do not drive with sun shield in place. Okay. You think somebody maybe did that and, you know, in case figure the car is going to be cooler, and so they're just going to leave it in place while they drive. And then they, of course, had a wreck and sued the company. And the company, of course, said, well, we'll just put that on our warning label. Man. Here's one. On a toner cartridge for a laser printer. Now, you know what a toner cartridge is, right? I mean, okay. You replaced them in your laser printer. And you know that in that cartridge is toner. Okay. Here's the warning label. Do not eat toner. Okay. That one, I just don't even want to go there. All right, here we go. How about a wheelbarrow? You know what a wheelbarrow is, right? 13-inch wheel, small wheel on a wheelbarrow. It's only got one wheel. You ready for the warning? The warning is not intended for highway use. It just kind of, you kind of wonder again, how did they come up with this warning? You know, can you see the guy looking at the wheelbarrow going, "Ooh, I know, I'll go down to the interstate." Man. Okay. Calm down, Dr. Bill. Okay, a novelty rock garden. You know how you can buy these little things, and they have these little novelty rock gardens that you can put out. Maybe have little blue rocks and little red rocks, and you may have seen them before. And the name of the garden set is called Popcorn Rock. Okay, you're ahead of me again. Here's the warning label. Eating rocks may lead to broken teeth. Okay. All right, here's a couple of quickies, real quickies. Domino's Pizza Box. Caution, contents hot. One would hope. On a coffee cup. Caution, hot beverages are hot. Isn't that kind of redundant? Okay. Here's one that you really, you know, the more you think about, the more confused you may get. On a frisbee. Now, you've seen a frisbee, right? Flat, plastic. Looks like a plate upside down, right? A frisbee. Here's the warning. Warning, may contain small parts. Where do you find small parts on a frisbee? It's one piece of plastic. And it's not small. Okay. Okay. On a toilet bowl cleaning brush. A toilet bowl cleaning brush. And here's the warning. Do not use orally. These are getting better. And I'm getting in just the right mood for it. Okay, warning label on a butcher knife. Please keep out of children. Not keep out of reach of children. Just keep out of the children. Keep the butcher knife out of the children. Okay. Excuse me, I'm sorry. That one just got to me. Okay. How about this one? On a birthday card. This is a birthday card for a 1-year-old. Okay. Now, let us reflect a moment. A birthday card for a 1-year-old. How old is a 1-year-old? 1 year is 12 months, right? Are you with me? Okay, you ready for the warning? The warning says, not suitable for children aged 36 months or less. It's a birthday card for a 1-year-old. Okay. Okay. Here we go. One from the manual of a heated seat cushion. You know, you got a cushion, you put it on your seat, you plug it into your cigarette lighter, heat your seat. Okay. Warning, do not use on eyes. Okay. On a laser pointer. You got a laser pointer, right? You can shine the little red dot. And you know that it's a laser, right? It can damage your eye, right? Okay. You ready for the warning? Calm. Slow down. Here's the warning. Do not look into laser with remaining eye. So the implication is you looked at the laser with one eye and went blind. So now you're reading the warning, having blinded yourself in one eye. And it says, don't look into it with your remaining eye. Okay, I just about can't read anymore, but I will read just a couple more. On the manual for a microwave oven. Now, you can do all kinds of interesting things with microwave ovens. But here's the warning. Do not use for drying pets. Okay. Okay. All right. On a motorcycle helmet mounted rear view mirror. You're wearing a motorcycle helmet, you got this little rear view mirror. Okay, here's the warning. Remember, objects in the mirror are actually behind you. Okay. I've really got to calm down here. Okay. In the manual for a jet ski. You know jet skis, right? You can ride them. They have this water shooting out of the back, propels you through the water. Okay. Warning. Riders of personal watercraft may suffer injury due to the forceful injection of water into body cavities, either by falling in the water or while mounting the craft. Again, you don't want to think about that too long. Okay. Okay, here's a label on a protective bag which measures 15 centimeters by 15 centimeters by 12 centimeters. Okay, we're talking a little bitty bag. Warning. Do not climb inside this bag and zip it up. Doing so will cause injury and death. And if you can do it, more power to you. Oh boy, I added that last part. Oh man. Okay, we're just about out of time, but I've got to read you just a few more. Okay, this one's a quickie. On the package of Silly Putty, you're familiar with Silly Putty, right? Do not use as earplugs. That's a good one. Okay. On a package of a sharpening stone for your knives. Warning! Knives are sharp! You may not be, but the warning says the knives are sharp. Oh, man. Okay. Just a few more. Warning on a tube of deodorant. Do not use intimately. No, I'm not going to go there. That's just the warning. There you go. Okay. On the back of a can of de-icing windshield fluid, the stuff to make ice not form when you put it in your water squirter on your car, cannot be made non-poisonous. There's just no way to make this stuff non-poisonous. Okay, on a package for an iron, do not iron clothes on body. Okay, on a child-sized Superman costume. You've seen them for Halloween or something, right? Child-sized Superman costume has a warning. And on the warning it says, wearing of this garment does not enable you to fly. Okay. Okay. On a box of My Doll PMS relief tabs. Now, think with me here just a moment. My Doll. PMS relief. Here's the warning. Warning. Do not use if you have prostate problems. On a supermarket dessert box, product will be hot after heating. On a package of dice, I've got a million of them here. On a package of dice, not for human consumption. On a shipment of hammers, this is a box of hammers. There's a warning label. May be harmful if swallowed. Okay, on a package of peanuts. Here's your warning. Warning. May contain nuts. Oh. Okay. Now, here's something that's a warning that's on a seal. The seal is on the jar, and here's the seal, and you take the seal off, and what does it say on the seal? Warning, do not eat if seal is missing. If it's missing, you can't read it. Okay. There's really a lot more of these, and I'm going to have to quit. Okay. Okay. Slow down. I'm looking at some of these others and see if there's any that we just can't not use. Okay. Here's a simple one. On a bar of Dial soap, it says, use like regular soap. Okay. I'm looking at the rest. The rest of them I think we can do without. But I tell you, the last one is a computer one. I'll do this last one just because it's a computer one. This is on a computer software package. And it says, in the requirements statement, you know how they have a requirement statement, must be at least a Pentium with so much memory. Here's the requirement. Optional modem required. Optional modem required. Okay. All right. That's enough. Oh, there's more. If you just absolutely have to have more. Like, here's one on a remote control for TV. Warning, not dishwasher safe. If you want more like this, go to http://rinkworks, that's with an R, rinkworks.com/said/warnings.shtml. Oh my, we've just had way too much fun on the podcast this week. And I've been in a weird state of mind because of it. But I just had to share some of those with you. Remember, until next week, the doctor is just way out there.